I love my church because we love people. Thank you for that. And maybe this is your first time at Gloria Day. Maybe you're listening in at gdlc.org, or maybe you just missed last week, but that's how we started our sermon series, as we now turn our hearts towards recovering from the devastating and in some places catastrophic impacts of what we all lovingly call Tropical Storm Harvey. I love my church because we love people. Can you believe that it's already been 3 weeks, 21 days, since Harvey started pouring 5 to 6 inches of rain per hour on the Houston area? And in some places, that added up to over 50 inches in the course of just a few days. But in 21 days, we have witnessed God at work in some of the most amazing ways through his people, through you guys, the family of God at Gloria Day. And that's actually why Pastor Dan decided on this sermon series for the month of September, because it's important, it's essential actually, at times like this, that we keep our eyes open to see what God is doing and the opportunities that he has placed before us. And honestly, I'll share, as Pastor Dan did last week, I am blown away at the way that God has worked through you, his people here at Gloria Day. I've gotten to witness, I've gotten to experience some of those amazing ways that you, as the family of God at Gloria Day, has reached out to one another with love, or to your neighbors, or to your coworkers, or even to complete strangers. And so I echo what Pastor Dan said last week, and what I know our staff would say, and I pray that you do too. I love my church because we love people. But there's another reason I love this church, though, and it's not because of the awesome humidity that is Houston. I love my church, Gloria Day, because we serve others. I love my church because we serve others. And in the past 21 days, there certainly has not been a shortage of opportunities to serve the people that God has placed around us. And if you've been thinking to yourself, yeah, but I mean, what can I do now? I've got to be honest, you're missing out. You're missing out on some amazing things that God is doing. And I'm going to point out just a few of the ways that you, as the family of God at Gloria Day, has served each other and our community around us. Listen closely, this is not an exhaustive list of all the serving that has been done through you guys. In fact, this is just barely the tip of the iceberg. And so when you hear these numbers that follow, I want you to think and multiply by about 50 to 100, and you begin to grasp the impact that you have made through your service on the community around us in just 21 short days. We completely mucked out an entire church that's not even in our community or a partner congregation of Gloria Day. And by mucked out, I mean this campus had several two-story buildings that flooded. We cleaned it out, we gutted it, we pulled up all the carpet, moved all the furniture, an entire church. We completely mucked out. Again, that's taking all the sheetrock off, pulling all the insulation, flooring, furniture, boxes, whatever it is. We completely mucked out 30 homes that can now move on in the building process. And I will tell you that number has increased since I wrote this down in my manuscript. We've had over 50 cleaning buckets that have been supplied, that have been packed, and that are ready to be handed out. When I wrote this, we had 349 people use the volunteer form that we put on the website to sign up. 349. One of my favorite statistics is that on the Tuesday after Labor Day, just a little over a week after Harvey blew through our area, 119 students and adults showed up for a special impact week that had been planned in just a couple of days. And over the course of those 4 days, we averaged 100 volunteers per day. 400 volunteers to help clean out, to muck homes, to do what was ever needed, pass out food in the League City Distribution Center, and host a Friday fun day for our kindergarten through fourth grade students so that their parents could focus on whatever they needed to focus on that day. One of the things that's not on here is we had hundreds of you show up at Lutheran South Academy, a preschool through high school, school just a little up the road. Their whole campus had gotten flooded out. Hundreds of you showed up to clean out that school in just a couple of days so that they could get back to normal. And maybe you're thinking to yourself, you know, as big as Gloria Day is, really, that's all we did? I've got to tell you, as one of your pastors, that is nothing short of phenomenal and a true testament to the work of God through each and every one of you. Those numbers are nothing to be ashamed of. They are everything to be proud of because of the way that God has worked through you, his family here at Gloria Day. Because the reality is, this was 21 days. And in that 21 days, 75 plus of our own households were flooded and had to clean up. And the beauty of it is, those people cleaned out their homes, piled debris on their street corners, and then went to their neighbors next door and started doing the same for their household. Or you came up to church and said, how can I serve? What can I do? Gloria Day, I love my church because we serve others. And this morning I want to talk about why. Because I can tell you, in making the pastoral follow-up calls, I've been truly amazed to hear the stories of God making his presence and love known through you guys. And as we move forward now in recovering from Harvey, the serving opportunities are definitely not going to diminish. They may change in their nature. Our attitude or motivation about them may change. But the opportunities to serve with our Savior's love and compassion will not diminish. And that's something that I want us to realize. We don't just serve during times of catastrophe or disaster. Our Lord has called us to a life of service. So there are times that that looks like manual labor, knocking out moldy and flooded homes. But then there are times that that looks like coffee with a friend when you really didn't have the 15 minutes to give up. Or there are times that that looks like personal prayer for somebody that you know needs God's strength and wisdom and guidance. Whatever the situation may be, our Lord has called us into a life of service because he's our greatest example of this. He's the one that came not to be served, but to serve. He's the one that brought us out of death and into his life, the one whose spirit now shapes and forms our own hearts and minds to be ever more like his own heart and mind. And so I want to dive into our reading from Mark chapter 10 this morning. So grab your Bibles, your phone, your tablet, the Bibles in front of you, and turn to Mark chapter 10. If you're in the Bibles in front of you, it's on page 846. It's the second gospel of the New Testament. Again, Mark chapter 10 on page 846 in the Bibles there in front of you. But just a little bit of context about Mark 10, and then we'll get into our specific passage here in a second. But you see, in Mark 10, Jesus has been talking with his disciples, and he's trying to lead them. He's trying to disciple them, if you will, in their understanding of his kingdom work. And so in Mark 10, he uses the example of a childlike faith to say, this is how you should come into my kingdom work. This is how you come into my kingdom. And then a rich young man approaches Jesus and says, hey, Jesus, what do I need to do to enter your kingdom and to receive eternal life? And Jesus explains in very paraphrase the commandments of the Old Testament. And then he uses three simple words to make his point. He says, come, follow me. But see, those three simple words were actually quite loaded. And so go to verse 29. Mark chapter 10, verse 29. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel." Remember, he's telling them, come follow me. This is what it's going to take. "Who will not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and lands." That sounds great so far. "With persecutions." Meaning there's going to be times where it's going to be really tough. "And in the age to come, eternal life." Those three simple words, come follow me, are our Savior's call to each of us to live as he lived, to love as he loves, to serve as he served. And he even explains to the disciples, because a little bit later in Mark 10, they start jockeying for position with him in his kingdom. It didn't quite make sense to them. So go to verse 42. "And Jesus called to them, and he said to them, 'You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them, but it shall not be so among you, my disciples,'" the ones I've said, come follow me. "Whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave to all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." If you're in your own Bible, or you have it on your phone or your tablet, highlight verse 45. Because this is not the saying of a dictator who's trying to secure his place above the people that he's leading and strong-arming them into following after him. This isn't even a king trying to lead by fear or by brute strength. This isn't even the wise saying of a sage who's sitting in a comfortable chair, dreaming up situations in life and the best way to approach them. This is the living example of the Savior of mankind calling to his disciples to follow after him. What's interesting is that in the Gospel of Mark, shortly after this passage, Mark tells of our Savior's crucifixion on the cross for the sins of every person, paying the debt for our own sinfulness that none of us could pay, and therefore being the ransom for many. Mark records the greatest act of love and service ever done for mankind, ever done for you and me personally, as our Savior took upon himself our sins, nailed them to the cross, and secured a relationship with us as his beloved and redeemed people for eternity. Indeed, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So then what does that mean for those of us that he's called out to and said, come follow me? Well, honestly, it means we live as he lives. We love as he loves. We serve as he serves. And we do this because he's already done it for us. We serve because the reality is, otherwise we're not living out our identity in him. We serve those that he has placed around us because that is who we are, and that is what he has called us to as his beloved and redeemed people. We serve because that is who we are as the family of God at Gloria Day. I love my church because we serve others, out of our Lord's love and compassion for those around us. Maybe that's news to you. Maybe you've never thought of your life as a Christ follower in that way. Or maybe as a faith former, you know you're called to a life of service, but you're really struggling to disciple those that God has placed in your life to live their own lives of service. And so I'd actually invite you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4 with me. If you're in the Bibles in front of you, it's on page 1016. Don't be afraid to use the table of contents. That's why it's there, all right? 1 Peter chapter 4, it's on page 1016, and the Bible's there in front of you. And we're going to walk through this little section of Scripture, mostly verse by verse, so be ready to highlight and take some notes, because what Peter actually does in these few verses is helps us understand what it means to live a life of service, to come follow after our Savior Jesus Christ, and to live that life of service. So again, 1 Peter chapter 4, and the Bible's in front of you, page 1016. Go down to verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. What's the end that Peter is talking about right there? That our Lord is coming back. And he's coming back to restore and to make all things new. And so, especially at times like this, when everything around us shows destruction, our life as a disciple of Christ, our life of service, is to bring about restoration, to make things new, to bring hope and point to the time when our Savior does return and he makes all things new for eternity. That's the purpose of our life of service, is to bring restoration and hope in our Savior Jesus Christ. And see, that then changes our perspective to one of hope instead of one of despair. Because right now it may look like utter devastation. And for many people it is. But you see, we know, we believe, we trust in our Savior Jesus Christ that there is more to this life than the present age. And a time is coming where all of this pain, all of this devastation, all of this destruction and death will be no more. And we have eternal life in him, in a new creation. And then in the last part of verse 7, Peter reminds us of a very important piece of our life as a follower of Christ. Prayer. Because it's in prayer that our Lord actually strengthens us. He focuses us. He points us to those that he wants us to love and to serve. And so pastorally, I encourage you, especially right now, do not neglect the time of prayer that our Lord provides. Because brothers and sisters, as we're running this marathon that is called recovery from Harvey, our time of prayer is our strength to move forward. Go to verse 8. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. You know, some of you have opened your homes to other people that you may or may not have known, and God bless you for it. Some of you have walked into the homes of complete strangers to help them, receiving nothing more than a thank you, and God bless you for it. But see, what Peter is reminding us here in our life of service is that we should experience what we already experience in our Savior Jesus Christ. His love was so great for us that he did what only he could do to ensure our relationship for eternity. And so as those who follow after him, this then is the love that pours out from us to others. A love that covers a multitude of sins, because his love covers all sins. It was awesome. I gotta be honest, it was absolutely awesome seeing people help others without even being asked. Well over 350 of you signed up to help in any way possible, not even knowing who you were going to help or how you were going to help. And that's not even counting the number of you that did not sign up, but you still showed up and said, hey, what do you need? Or you went out and served on your own. Thanks to Facebook, I was actually able to see several of these circumstances. One of our own, Amber, started a mom's group called Harvey Moms. And they started collecting supplies for their neighbors or people they didn't even know but they had met through social media. And they're going to continue this through Christmas. My wife is an example of gathering a group of folks, mostly our friends and neighbors, who brought their friends and their neighbors who we had never met and started walking our neighborhood providing water and snacks to whoever wanted it. We have the Holy Cow Smokers using our campus this week from the Dallas area, and they're providing 6,000 meals to people in our community that they have never met. There's a gentleman that came to worship this morning from Nashville. He shared a video online. His mother-in-law sent it to me. We got connected, and he worked on Saturday morning with a group of guys that he's never met. And then came to worship with a congregation of people he's never met. And he's going to Winnie, Texas this afternoon to help a couple that he's never met. Talk about loving as a servant. When love pours out in service, there's an expectation of receiving nothing in return. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Instead, it's an effort to actually build, to grow, to strengthen whatever relationship may be there so that Christ's love can continue to spread. And honestly, any of us has any number of reasons to grumble and complain at times like this. Maybe you're one of the ones that had feet of water in your house, or maybe your AC stopped, or maybe you couldn't use the bathroom because the lines stopped up, or whatever the case may be. Any number of us has any number of reasons to grumble and complain. But see, when we keep the end in mind, that our Savior is coming back to make all things new, to restore what has been broken, and we seek our Lord in prayer, it's amazing how those things just seem to disappear. And in the midst of serving, I'm always amazed at the joy that our Savior brings. Go down to verse 10, and we'll finish up here. As each of you has received a gift, use it. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves, by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. As each of us has a gift, use it to serve one another. Your service does not have to be swinging a sledgehammer at a waterlogged wall. Though I got to tell you, there's a lot of stress relief in that action. Your service doesn't have to be spending time in intimate prayer with a complete stranger. Though for some of you, that is your gift, and that is what our Savior has called you to do. For others of you, your act of service is organization of supplies. For others of you, it's food preparation. For some of you, it's simply providing a smile and comic relief. As each of us has received a gift, use it to serve one another. You notice what Peter is saying there. The type of service isn't important. It's that you are serving according to the giftedness God has given to you in His Spirit. And this is another one to mark in your Bibles. To bring Him, to bring God, glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Gloria Dei, I love my church because we serve others. And we do so to the glory, the honor, the dominion of our Savior and King, Jesus Christ. Amen.